is a beautiful vort from Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok points out that when we describe Matan Torah, the Torah gives us a whole sound and light show. Lahavdil a Cecil B. DeMille extravaganza. And it talks about everybody saw thunder and lightning. Of course, Chazal already remarked that this was a nes, that you saw the thunder, right? The sounds were turned into visual stimuli and the like. And then Hashem gives the Aseres HaDibros. And after he gives the Aseres HaDibros, it then repeats. They saw the kolos, they saw the sounds, the eshalapidim, and the torches. So Rav Tzadok notes a little thing that would escape our notice, and that is, before Matan Torah, they saw barakim, flashes of lightning. After Matan Torah, they saw lapidim, torches. There was a difference in the visualization here, from barak to lapid. Barakim to lapidim. Rav Tzadok wants to suggest that the difference in the visualization represented the spiritual transformation in the understanding of holiness pre-Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. Pre-Matan Torah, holiness was like a barak. After Matan Torah, holiness became a lapid. What's the difference? Rav Tzadok says, even before the Torah was given, the human neshama, not even the neshama of a Jew, has a yearning to be united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a yearning for transcendence, a yearning to be connected to something greater than the animalistic part of their personalities. But by definition, the only way one could achieve Kedusha is by escaping the physical boundaries of this world. That within the confines of physicality, there is no way to achieve Kedusha. That is why in other religions, by and large, the way extreme holiness is achieved is by asceticism, renunciation, separation from the world. The Catholic priest takes a vow of celibacy. And unfortunately, we've seen in recent years how relatively unsuccessful that has been, but understandably so. And I'm not condoning, of course, but understandably, you're taking what is a natural part of human life and you're perverting it by not allowing it to have its expression. Or a vow of poverty, etc. Because the world in that paradigm is regarded as evil and degrading, and my connection to God can exist only to the extent I disengage from that world. Rav Tzadok says, that type of holiness is like a flash of lightning. Because what is a flash of lightning? Brilliant light! The moment of ecstasy! But then you're plunged into total darkness till the next brilliant flash of light. Because you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to leave the mountaintop occasionally. And therefore, by definition, the Kedusha is not sustainable. It cannot keep you going. It's going to be brilliant Kedusha followed by depths of despair. The Torah taught a great chiddush to mankind, to Bnei Yisrael in particular, that you achieve Kedusha not by rejecting the world and retreating into the spirit, but you achieve Kedusha by taking the physicality of the world and elevating it. The sexual urge is not repressed, but it is sanctified and elevated in the context of a sanctified holy union that we call Kedushin, marriage. Eating and drinking to serve Hashem becomes a mitzvah. We honor the Shabbos with the meals that we do. The Torah is teaching us, you serve Hashem not by escaping physicality. You serve Hashem by transforming the physical. into the spiritual. Rav Tzedek says, that is compared to a torch. Because what is the difference between lightning and a torch? Lightning is a brilliant flash of light that then plunges you into darkness. A torch keeps on going. It flickers. Now, Rav Tzedek suggests, and this is a very interesting idea, that there's kind of a tragic compromise here. Because a torch is not as bright as a lightning flash. And indeed, Rav Tzedek says that in daily life, you will often not have the ecstasy or the magic moments of the hermit who is on top of the flagpole or on top of the mountain. Whether it's carpool or cleaning or cooking for Shabbos or whatever it would be, there is a certain amount of drudgery in daily life. It doesn't have the excitement. So you don't have the lightning flash, but you have the permanence. You have the sustainability. With a torch, you get warmth as well as light. With a torch, you can navigate. Again, think about the... Now it's much better than it used to be. Those new roads with Sfat, you know, now they have... But if you remember the older roads, where you had to wind around the mountain over and over and over and over again in a spiral. You still do a little bit. The Eged buses, and every time it turns a curve, you know, you're saying Tehillim, you know, with a lot of kavana and the light. So imagine if you had to navigate in total darkness through the occasional lightning flash. Not too good. With a torch, you can manage to get there. Actually, Amuka is that way. Amuka, which is near, you know, so that's the Yerushalayim ben Uzziel's kever. That's like totally dark. It's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing how you know, and literally, you only have like the headlights is the only light that you have there at all. So Rav Tzedek says, this is what Matan Torah is. Matan Torah is taking the paradigm of kedusha that was based on brilliant light alternating with total darkness, to have a certain constancy, stability, the flickering torch which sustains me, to recognize that there doesn't have to be a fragmentation between the physical and the spiritual, but in fact we can take everything physical in this world and elevate it and serve Hashem that way. And this actually explains a well-known Gemara. You know, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. What is the proper way to celebrate every Yom Tov? Because one pasuk says Yom Tov is for Hashem, and another pasuk says Yom Tov is for us. Which one? So Rabbi Eliezer says, you got a choice. You can devote Yom Tov totally to Hashem. Learn and daven and don't eat. He heals, you're allowed to fast on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshua says, you don't have a choice. You have to divide the Yom Tov. Some of it for Hashem, and some of it for your physical pleasure. We paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. But then the Gemara says the following. The machlokes, whether you have this option, is only for Pesach or Sukkot. But when it comes to Shavuos, everybody says, even Rabbi Eliezer that says, you could normally give it totally to Hashem, says you have to eat a meal on Shavuos. Because it's the day we got the Torah. Now, in a way, that's a non sequitur. I would have expected the Gemara to say that even the one that says you have to make a meal on Shavuos would say all you have to do is learn because it's the day of the Torah. The Gemara says the opposite. Shavuos is the one day you must have a meal. Because here's the answer. If the idea of the Torah is we take the physical and sanctify it, for me to simply say, oh, on Shavuos I'm just going to learn, that would miss the point. Because the angels are better than us in that. Remember, there was a whole debate. The angels, the Malachi Yashare, said to Hashem, the Jews don't, why should they get the Torah? They're so inferior to us. And Moshe Rabbeinu's argument was, yes, but the Torah has physical commandments that you're not connected to. Now, if all we're going to do is spiritual work, the angels are much better than us in purely spiritual work. So why should we get the Torah at all? It's our physicality that entitles us to the Torah. Right, so this is what Rav Tzedek says. This is the idea of the thunder, of the lightning turning into the torch. And that's an important idea, that one should understand that the most physical, mundane tasks in life, when they are undertaken with the right kavana, the right perspective, become ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two people can be doing the same thing, and for one person it's nothing, and for the other person it's a great mitzvah. Now they tell a story. Now this is one of these stories that are cross-religious stories, because there's a Christian version, there's an Islamic version, there's a Jewish version. So sometimes, I'm not sure, sometimes even the Jewish stories that are not in the Midrashim were actually borrowed from some Christian guy who had a good story. But this is the story that they tell. I'm not even sure which version I'm going to tell you, but it just different versions. But it's the version about three people were cutting stones, were schlepping stones for the building of Taj Mahal, some cathedral, or not the Beis HaMikdash, because you can't cut stones, but a Beis Knesset. Right, so it comes in three versions, as they say. Each person was asked, how would you define your life? One person says, my life is about cutting stones from morning to night. I cut them, I drag them, I go back and I cut and I drag and I cut and I drag. That is what I do for 12 hours a day. I go home, eat bread, go to sleep, get up and do it again. That's my life. Another person said, my life is about making a living for my children so that one day they'll be able to have something better. And as I cut the stones, I think about how I'm helping my children. That's a second perspective. And a third person says, every stone I cut, I'm giving glory to my Creator and praise to the greatness of who He is. Same thing, same activity. One person sees it as drudgery and repetitiveness with no meaning at all. The other person sees it as a way of taking care of those he loves. And a third person even goes further and sees this as praise for Hashem. Perceptions create the realities. How we perceive the life that we live becomes the life that we have. And this is exactly how you have to take the torches, which are less intense than the flashes of lightning, but understand that they are the guideposts that will bring you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, be it as it may, I wish you all a Zman Matan Torah. You know, one final thought. You know, we often say that Shavuos is the day of Kabbalah HaTorah, and yet that's not what we say in davening. In davening we say it's the day of the giving of the Torah. We don't say it's the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. And the Chassidus HaSfarim say very pashut. Matan Torah was an event. God gave us the Torah. But accepting the Torah, every single day we have to re-accept it. And therefore, Kabbalah HaTorah is not a historical event. It is a continuous process. So we're going to be commemorating Matan Torah on Wednesday, but we will be actually accepting Matan Torah, not just on Wednesday, but actually every day, but especially on Wednesday. So may you have a commemoration of Matan Torah, and may you experience an actual Kabbalah HaTorah. So good job.